Please don't hesitate to ask. You know, sometimes life gives us a gut punch, right? And Jesus says, in this life, you will have troubles. And if you've been on this earth very long, you know that to be true. We all face difficulties and challenges and troubles. And to me, sometimes can only simply be described as a punch in the gut. Right? Something that just shocks you and overwhelms you. But that's part of this life. And so here's the thing. Now we have a choice. How are we going to respond? How are we going to respond when there's trouble, when there's difficulty, when there's pain, when there's suffering? How are we as Christians going to respond? A couple different ways. When the trials come and they seem overwhelming, we could accept them as God refining our faith, right? And God doesn't give us what we want. He gives us what we need. And so I can take this challenge, this difficulty, this pain, this suffering, and understand it that maybe God is allowing this in my life to refine my faith because He loves me that much. And He looks at my life and He knows that refining fire, that refining process will bring me closer to Him. And my God loves me so much that He wants me to spend eternity with Him, despite all my failures. And so He allows us to have these difficulties to refine our faith because God gives me what I need and not what I want. What I want is no trials. What I want is no pain. What I want is no suffering. But that's not what I need. And so God gives me what I need and not what I want. And so when there's trials, when there's difficulties, and I think that's the way God wants us to start to view these things. But also, I could take my eyes off of Jesus. Hebrews 12, verse 2, fix your eyes on Jesus. He's the author and finisher of your faith. I can take my eyes off of Jesus. Now, listen, this is how Satan works. It's his goal to constantly distract us, to get us to take our eyes off of Jesus, number one. Number two, he wants us to tell ourselves the wrong thing concerning whatever situation. Right? That internal monologue. He wants you to tell yourself the wrong things about it. You know, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 9, according to your faith, let it be unto you. Right? So if you have a trial, if you have a problem, you have a difficulty, you know, you could say, woe is me. I guess God doesn't love me. Maybe He loves others more than me. Maybe He doesn't care. Maybe He's not involved in my life. So on and so forth. Well, then Jesus says, according to your faith, let it be unto you. Or, despite your problems and your trials, you can have that right internal monologue. Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You could say, regardless of what I'm facing right now, I'm loved by God. Jesus, God in the flesh, came and He died for me. I'm a redeemed, beloved child of the Creator. And Jesus says, according to your faith, let it be unto you. But Satan doesn't want you to have that right and proper, godly, internal monologue. So distraction, number one, tell yourself the wrong thing. And then number three, the wrong kind of fear. Now there's good fear and there's bad fear in your Bible. The good fear, right? Wise old Solomon, Ecclesiastes, Fear God, keep his commandments. That's your whole duty. That's a good kind of fear. Paul infers the bad kind of fear in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. Right? He didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. So I have an issue, got a problem, I've got a trial, a situation. I could say, you know, God, allow this to refine my faith. Or I could use it as a distraction to tell myself the wrong things and end up with the wrong kind of fear. If you would, open your Bibles to Matthew. And what I'm going to do here, and I say this every once in a while, when I develop a sermon, I'm preaching to myself first. And so what I'm going to do here, and if you had a bulletin, a sermon outline on there, that might look a little familiar. Well, the 4 points in this is from a sermon, the main points anyways, that I did 2-3 years ago. And I'm going to reuse those 4 main points, but we're going to make different applications. Right, some different sub-points, so bear with me in this. Some of this might seem a little bit familiar. And so 4 times in the book of Matthew, Jesus makes that statement, O you of little faith. And what we're going to do is we're going to work our way backwards, and we're going to make some application. We're going to be reminded that trials are coming, tribulations are coming, or they're already here, and you're going to face them in this life. You will have trouble. How do you respond? Right? And all of us as Christians, we start off with a great faith. I believe all of us do. I'm not talking about Bible knowledge, those kind of things. You know, you wouldn't obey the gospel if you didn't have great faith. But then things happen along the way where we can go from a great faith to a little faith. And it takes an honest examination to figure out where I am on that scale, if you will. Right? Because the trials are coming. The tribulation, it's coming if you're not already in one. And so I need to be honest and look, where am I on this? And if I'm down here with little faith or no faith, I guarantee if you're honest, what we're going to talk about, what we're going to see, how that occurred. And we're going to work our way backwards. Matthew chapter 16 is our first one, but the last one that Jesus talks about. And so if you remember what's going on here, they had crossed over the Sea of Galilee. And this is after the feeding of the 5,000, and they had some leftover bread. And so they get over on the other side, and Jesus says, you know, beware of the leaven of the scribes and the Pharisees. Right? He's talking spiritual. But we read there that the disciples, they reasoned among themselves in verse 7, saying it's because we have taken no bread. And so Jesus says in verse 8, O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves? So number one, little faith comes from human reasoning. Not my words, the words of Jesus. You see, what we do when there's trials, when there's difficulties, what can I do to handle this problem? You know, what's my answer to this situation, right? I want to rely on Sean's reasoning. I can fix this. I'm strong enough. God, you know, you're busy, right? You wouldn't maybe fully understand. No one else has ever went through this problem that I'm going through. I'll take care of this. That's human reasoning. Right? They weren't dependent on the words of the Lord, and many times we're going to end up with little faith when we don't depend on what the Lord says. We try to figure it all out ourselves. Right? And we're going to distract ourselves from Jesus. We're going to tell ourselves the wrong thing, wrong self-talk. We're going to become afraid of the wrong things. That's the way it happens. We cannot rely on self. God said, my ways are higher than your ways. Right? He says, I love you. Cast your cares upon me. Believe that. He says, I'll give you the peace of God and the God of peace. I'll give you a peace that surpasses understanding, right? So he gives us what we need in face of difficulties. Number two, if you go back in your Bible to Matthew chapter 14. And if you know what's going on here in this event, this is where Jesus walks on the water. You remember this? Matthew chapter 14. Really, you can go back to verse 24. He sent the disciples ahead. He stayed alone to pray, and they're out there, and the sea is becoming boisterous, your translation might say. And so Jesus walks on the water to them, and we read that they were troubled, they were afraid, they said, it's a ghost. And Jesus says, don't be afraid, it's me. Peter then, probably wanting to prove his great faith, says, Lord, if it is you, command me to come out. And Jesus says, come. Now, at first, Peter is walking on the water. But what happens? Well, the text says that he looked around him and saw that the wind was contrary, right? The storms. He took his eyes off of Jesus because of the storms. And so Jesus says there at the end of verse 31, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? Little faith is connected to doubt. Number one, human reasoning. Number two, it's doubt. Now, this one and the one we're going to look at in a moment, fear, they're interchangeable, fear and doubt. You see, when we take our eyes off of Jesus and we look at the storms of life that we're all going to have, sometimes we doubt. You know, and so he says, he's sinking. Lord, save me, I'm perishing. And Jesus saves him, of course. Why did you doubt? Now here, the application I want to make this morning is when we doubt, it leads to little faith every time. Have you ever done this? Will Jesus really save me? Yeah, I know what the Bible says, you know, and to believe in him, repent of my sins, confess him, be baptized, removal of my sins. He's going to add me to his body, the kingdom, the church. Jesus went to prepare a place for me in heaven. But maybe he meant everybody else but me. Because I struggle, I have problems, I have difficulties. I'm not like everyone else. They got it all together. I have issues, got problems. I struggle. What are you doing there? You're doubting. You're doubting the grace of God, the power of the blood of Christ. You're doubting. Little faith is always connected to doubt. Trust God who doesn't lie. Not change rules in the middle of the game. Trust that and believe that and obey that. Number three, turn back there in the book of Matthew. I want you to go to chapter 8. Another event on the boat. So, little faith is connected to human reasoning. It's connected to doubt. Now here, number three, like I mentioned a moment ago, we're going to see that little faith is connected to fear. Right? Fear and doubt, interchangeable. Right? Distracting you from keeping your eyes on Jesus. To have that wrong internal monologue, Lord, we're perishing, don't you care? We're dying, and end up with the wrong kind of fear. Now, before we read this, I want you to be reminded that these disciples in the boat with Jesus just heard the best sermon any preacher's ever preached. Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 through 7. Chapter 8 begins, he heals a leper. Great theological understanding of that. But just understand that he can and will heal. Then he heals the centurion's servant, our scripture reading from earlier. We're going to look at that in just a moment. Then he heals Peter's mother-in-law of a fever, showing that he cares even for the little things. So they saw the miracles. They heard the preaching. Now they're in the boat. Another storm. And suddenly, verse 24, a great tempest arose so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep, and his disciples came and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. But he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Fear leads to little faith. You can kind of see the destructive cycle here the Lord is warning us about. In your life, you're going to have trouble. Right? You're going to use that as a refining fire to mature your faith, or you're going to be distracted, take your eyes off of Jesus, tell yourself faith-destroying things, and end up with the wrong kind of fear because of human reasoning, doubt, and fear. Which is it going to be? Now, before we look at the fourth one here, I want to take a moment and talk about great faith. The Roman centurion, our scripture reading earlier, a little earlier there in Matthew chapter 8. And so in verse 10, when Jesus responds to the centurion's faith, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." Here's a man that technically shouldn't really have faith in Jesus, being a Gentile. But he understood who Jesus was and what he was capable of. Lord, just say it, and my servant will be healed. You know, think about how what a powerful thought that Jesus can look down from heaven right now, and he can look at your life and say, that's great faith. That he can look at my life and say, that's great faith. What a powerful thought. And that consists in you believing in who he is and his authority and his power, right? Those kind of, you can have great faith. It has nothing to do with perfection. I have not seen such great faith in Israel. Now, that sermon using these outlines that I gave 2-3 years ago, whatever, I believe it was titled, "Oh, You Have Little Faith." That seemed a little bit negative to retitle that, the sermon here this morning, that. So I titled it, "Great Faith in Trials." You see, we're going to have the right mindset in the face of trials. You know, am I going to allow this to build my faith or destroy my faith? Number 4, Matthew chapter 6. This fourth one is really the first one in the way that Jesus gives it. And I want you to note here in the Sermon on the Mount, right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, he ties little faith to worry. And I want you to understand something about this word worry in our language. If you go back to the Middle English, this word worry literally meant to strangle. See, now it makes a little more sense. At least our rendering of this Greek word in English as it was originally given. You know, that just helps me understand this, right? So there's something out there that can strangle my faith away. Right? He talks about several things here in this text. Right, he talks about, you know, in your life, verse 25, you know, don't worry about what you're going to eat and drink, the physical. You know, just look at the birds of the air. They neither toil nor spin. God takes care of them. You're worth so much more than a bird. Look at the lilies of the field. Even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed as one of these. But they're just going to be chopped out and thrown in the fire. You're worth so much more. And in verse 30, now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, verse 31. And so the point is, don't allow the physical things of this life choke away your faith. It'll lead to little faith every time. If your focus is on stuff and things, on the physical, and you take your eyes off of Jesus, and you start telling yourself faith-destroying things, right? This thing in my life is more important than Jesus. The stuff that I accumulate, that's more important than Jesus. Right? My physical life is more important than Jesus. Every single time, that will absolutely choke away your faith. In this life, you will have trouble. It's the way it is, right? Because we're not meant to be here. That's why we get old and we get sick and we die, because we're not supposed to be here. And in that life, you're going to have trouble. So how are you going to respond to that trouble? What's your response? God, allow this to refine my faith, because I know I'm going to stand before you in judgment. I want to be strong and take it for what it is. Or allow Satan to use it to destroy your faith. So what's the answer in all of this? Well, the answer is right here in verse 33, and I believe this to be very similar to Hebrews 12 and verse 2. Right, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, New American Standard says, the author and finisher of your faith. But right here, I think it's very similar. So what's the answer to all of this? Well, it's seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. That's the answer for all of it. Right, you got a storm of life that's hitting you. You're right, you got life gives you that gut punch. You've got difficulties, you've got trials, whatever it is. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and God's going to take care of the rest. That's the answer. This morning, I want you to think about this as we offer the Lord's invitation. I want you to think about honestly, you know, where are you? Well, if you haven't obeyed the gospel, of course, this is the time to do that. This may be your last chance. God loves you. He cares for you. Maybe you're thinking, well, I'm not worthy. Well, none of us are. Right? You're missing the whole point. Of course you're not worthy. Right? That's why you need the blood of Christ. And if you need to obey the gospel, let us help you with that. If you've done that, but along the way you lost your way, and you're ready to be reconciled to God, or if you just need prayers of encouragement, you need prayers of strength, let us show you the love of God, and we'd love to help you, and whatever you might need. Just let somebody know as we stand, as we sing.